Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Ray Pritchard. Hey, Ray, you still there, brother?
I am still here, Tim. And hey, can I give a shout-out to the folks in Central Kansas? Last week, I was preaching at a Bible conference at the Emmaus Mennonite Church in Whitewater, Kansas. And, Tim, I meet AFR listeners everywhere I go around the country. Last week, one night at that Bible conference, it was minus 16, literal, and minus 35 wind chill. Ooh. And tons of people. These are farmers. They're tough. I told them city churches would have canceled this conference a long time ago, but they're farm folks. Anyway, I want to shout out to the folks from Emmaus Mennonite because we got a ton of AFR listeners in Central Kansas, and they listen to KCFN out of Wichita, 91.1. And I want to thank them for coming to the Bible conference when it was freezing cold and they could have stayed in bed. We got a lot of good AFR listeners all over the state of Kansas.
I got to say, Ray, that I'm going to take back some of my criticism of you, because I have said in the past that Ray Pritchard seems to be called by God during the winter months.
It's God's will.
Teach in Florida.
That's right.
And Hawaii and Arizona.
That's right.
And he doesn't get "quote unquote" called to teach the Bible in conferences in the north.
Are you
until
Ted
the
Cruz
summer.
And Ray right here?
That's exactly right. That's me and Ted. We were going to be down in Cancun last week, and that just blew up on us. It just blew up.
Good for you, Ray.
Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Hey, good morning. I said long ago that Ray needs to fire his scheduler if he's going to be in Kansas in the middle of the winter.
Well, those folks, you're right. We have a lot of great listeners all over the state of Kansas, because our radio signal goes to probably 70% of the population state of
that's right
Kansas. And JJ was out there too. He was in Wichita. He's going to tell us about that trip on Friday.
Right, boy, that was something.
That was a
bit
movie.
Of an adventure.
Well, that's
those planes, trains, and automobiles right there.
Yes.
Yep.
He's going to tell us about it. He hitchhiked,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to tell that story on Friday.
To do that in about 45 years.
or at least live to tell about it.
That's right.
Taking your life in your own hands, today's world. Huh? All right. Well, hey, listen, one note here. You know, Sandy and I, but we may disagree on some things from time to time. Ed, Ray and I, Steve.
Steve
and I rarely disagree, because I signed Steve's paycheck.
That's right.
Yes, sir. You're right, sir.
Absolutely, no,
but,
Mr. President.
You know, a lot of times in politics, and especially when we're talking about the presidential election, there are differences of opinion, and we shouldn't. I just think we should allow for that.
Right.
You know, we should allow for that without questioning each other's Christianity.
Yes.
I'll question yours, but but I don't want you to question mine.
Right.
You see what I'm talking? I don't know. You see what I'm talking about?
I do. I mean, you're going to the question of what he said about Vice President Pence on January the 6th.
Yes, I am.
Right, and I'm with you on that.
I love Donald Trump. I love Mike Pence.
Oh,
what President Trump, vote for the guy again tomorrow. But you don't call your loyal VP for 4 years a coward in front of the world. Right. That's wrong.
You just don't do that.
If you're going to do it, you do it privately.
You do it privately. Yeah. You don't do that. You don't dress a man down like that, especially who's had your back for 4 years. And if you want to say, well, he didn't have Donald Trump's back for 4 years, I want to say, well, whose fault's that? Huh?
Right. Right.
Whose fault's that?
Yeah.
Okay? So, anyway, we will see what the president says when he speaks at the CPAC. Was that next Tuesday?
No, it's
Sunday.
This week. He speaks,
Sunday.
The president
this Sunday
speaks
night.
Sunday night.
He's
going to
give
Friday, Saturday,
gonna give a
and
message?
Sunday, I think. A message.
You're going to give a message? A political message, right? Yeah. All right, we want to welcome, speaking of spiritual things, Ed, do you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah, we want to welcome Byron Paulus, who's founder of OneCry.com. And we have Byron on to talk about the Heart Cry for Revival Conference because, as we've said on this show many times, only God can save us now. So, Byron, welcome once again to today's issues.
Well, what a thrill to be here. And I could just say, Ray, I want you to know you can send all the AFR stations up through to Michigan that you want, but keep that cold Kansas weather.
Says the man from Michigan.
Says the guy from Michigan. That's right.
Where do you live, Byron?
I live in Southwest Michigan, just next door to South Bend, Indiana, and we won't talk about its previous mayor today.
Bro, I'm not going to even try to pronounce his name.
And I would talk about Notre Dame football, but I don't think that'd go well in the South either.
So, although I am a Notre Dame fan.
Yes, he is.
And I get no respect down here. So
they just don't understand. That phenomena happens every fall Saturday in the afternoon. All those Catholics, for about 3 hours, become passionate Christians. Then they all go back to their Catholicism.
Yeah, SEC hey. Football fans would know nothing about tradition like that, would they?
No, and you know, football is not a religion down here. You know?
Not much.
It's
hey,
far more important
the Heart
than that.
For Revival Conference, is that a
yeah,
deal?
Yeah, yeah. Let's switch over.
It's no game. And we don't need a game today in our nation, do we? God is really stirring hearts in ways that I've not seen in 45 years of being in leadership in a revival ministry and mobilizing prayer movements to seek God for spiritual solutions. We need to be active politically. We need to be active socially. But how active are we spiritually in believing God for another outpouring of His Spirit and great awakening? And so, wow, since 1998, every other year, there has been a Heart Cry for Revival conference, generally geared just to pastors and leaders and those who are strongly seeking God for a visitation from heaven. And this year, it was scheduled in Austin, Texas, and thankfully, that didn't come to fruition, but it's virtual. And as of this morning, over 2,000 pastors, leaders, people have registered for the conference. It begins actually with a pre-conference prayer meeting tonight that AFR is going to be broadcasting live at 7 o'clock your time in Mississippi. And it's going to be a phenomenal time of seeking the Lord together in preparation for Wednesday afternoon through Friday night. And basically, it's three things. It's to ignite a fresh sense of God's presence in our own hearts, a fire in our hearts. It's designed to equip for those that want to know how to practically and pragmatically set the sails for when the wind of God begins to blow. And then finally, to commission so many hundreds of those that will want to become agents of transformation by way of God's movement and revival and spiritual awakening. So we're excited about that and thankful for AFR. Man, you guys have done interview after interview and promoted and helped us for years, a partner in this endeavor, and I want to say a huge thank you.
Byron, I do have a question. I want to ask you to repeat something that you said earlier, but I do want to let our listeners know that if you want to learn more about the leaders, the workshops, the schedule for the Heart Cry for Revival conference, go to heartcryforrevival.org, heartcryforrevival.org. We'll give that website again here in just a moment. But Byron, you said something that kind of struck me. You said you've been involved in this type of ministry for 45 years. And what did you say? You've never seen the kind of passion for prayer and revival that you've seen? Or did I make that up?
No, you didn't make it up. Undoubtedly true. I think the combination of the unrest politically, but you know, the good part about that is we all kind of step back and say that's not where the final answer is anyway. And the COVID and all the things that just seem to create a sense of hopelessness. People are looking for where is then the answer. I love to share the story of several years ago now, two Christian leaders were leaving the White House after a meeting with the president that was scheduled for 30 minutes, got extended another half hour, and they just shook their heads as they were leaving, talking to each other, and one turned to the other and said, if we don't have revival, nothing else really matters. But the other one replied so wisely, and you know what? If we do have revival, nothing else really matters. And I believe that depicts what's in the hearts of people today, especially in the church, that they realize that apart from God, we really can't do anything. But with God, everything is possible.
How do we
And I think we lose sight of the hope of revival and the extent to which God has moved historically in our nation that changed everything.
Folks, you need to, you can go online and... this is tomorrow night. This is for two days, right?
Byron? Right. It starts Wednesday afternoon at 2 and extends Eastern time and extends through Friday evening.
It's free? And
it is free, 100% free. Hey, by the way, may I inject, Thursday is the Collegiate Day of Prayer. I don't think people realize for 100 years it lies dormant. 10 years ago, it was resurrected by campus ministry leaders across the nation. And last year, every one of our 4,900 campuses were adopted for prayer on the Collegiate Day of Prayer. It's integrated into the Heart Cry Conference this year. So Thursday night is a two-hour media cast all across the nation from district campuses across the nation for the Collegiate Day of Prayer, where they're praying for a revival.
Okay, so folks, go to heartcryforrevival.org. Everything is there. Heartcryforrevival.org. Heartcryforrevival.org. Byron, thank you so much, my friend. Take care. We look forward to the meeting, the virtual meeting.
Great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you all so much. God bless. Bye-bye.
We've been behind this and working with these guys for years and years.
Yep. And that's, I do want to just stress to our listeners that most of our listeners know this, but we do get criticized, AFA, I mean, and AFR, and part of the criticism is all you care about is politics. You believe government can save this nation. No, we don't. What we believe is that only God can save this nation. It's becoming much clearer today, but that has always been the case. We also believe that Christians must be determined and faithful and effective voices for righteousness in every aspect of American life. So obviously that includes the church, it includes politics, it includes your schools, it includes the grocery store. So we just want to let people know that this is, like you said, Tim, something we've been involved in for many, many years.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
Good morning. So the cream of the new class of legislators in Washington, the Trump class, I guess you'd call them, the people that were supportive of Donald Trump, are kind of rising to the fore. There's a new leadership within the House and the Senate. And Merrick Garland is in the middle of his confirmation hearings to become Attorney General of the United States in the second day. And I want you to hear an exchange that he had with Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri. Now, Merrick Garland says that domestic terrorism and white supremacy are going to be the primary focus of his administration, of his Justice Department. Listen to this question from Josh Hawley.
Let me ask you about assaults on federal property in places other than Washington, D.C., Portland, for instance, Seattle. Do you regard assaults on federal courthouses or other federal property as acts of domestic extremism, domestic terrorism?
Well, Senator, my own definition, which is about the same as the statutory definition, is the use of violence or threats of violence in an attempt to disrupt democratic processes. So an attack on a courthouse while in operation, trying to prevent judges from actually deciding cases, that plainly is domestic extremism, domestic terrorism. An attack simply on a government property at night or any other kind of circumstances is a clear crime and a serious one and should be punished. I don't know enough about the facts of the example you're talking about, but that's where I draw the line. One is both are criminal, but one is a core attack on our democratic institutions.
It is only domestic terror if it's done during the day.
Well, he was, now, I'm not trying to split hairs here. I think he was splitting hairs. But I think what he was saying was the purpose of the attack makes the difference. So I would guess he would say, even if it was at night, if the purpose was to destroy our democratic functioning, that would be domestic terrorism. But to your point, Steve, he did split hairs so finely that he was appeared to be saying it had to be an attempt to stop our democratic processes while they were being engaged in. And I don't know where he gets that as a definition for domestic terrorism. It seems like domestic terrorism is an attempt to intimidate Americans through violence.
If burning a police precinct is not domestic terrorism, if attacking a courthouse and torching it is not domestic terrorism, then the phrase has no meaning, right?
The entire purpose of Antifa is to overthrow the United States government and replace it with anarchy, basically.
And it doesn't matter if that's done at night when no one's there or if it's done during the day. That's, to your point, Steve, that is what Antifa's trying to do. So I think the left is going to have to, at some point, politically answer for their lack of criticism of both Black Lives Matter, the movement, and Antifa, because they have bent over backwards to try to defend the violence that those two groups have promoted. And at some point, Americans are going to see through that hair splitting that we just heard from Merrick Garland.
Yep. So it's not often that we...
I agree with all you fellers. Yeah.
You're being agreeable now.
I'm being agreeable. I'm a peacemaker.
You're pulling for unity.
I'm pulling for unity.
You're all for unity.
Yes. That's right.
Yes. Go ahead. Kumbaya, Steve.
Yes. My liege. It's not often that we give kudos, that I give kudos to the national press, but I have to call out or commend AP reporter, Associated Press reporter Matt Lee. He was covering the State Department, spokesperson Ned Price yesterday. And Ned Price was talking about how successful the Biden administration efforts have been to curb natural gas going to Russia. Basically, they don't want Russia to stock up on natural gas, and because it skews the market. But listen to this. This you're going to first hear Ned Price, the spokesperson for the State Department. And then you're going to hear Matt Lee ask a question. Cut 7.
The part I don't want to get buried is that the report that we sent to Congress last Friday also includes a list of entities that have engaged in good faith efforts to wind down activities related to Nord Stream 2. And I think that demonstrates that our strategy, including the legislative strategy, the strategy that, of course, Congress has been behind, has been working to good effect.
It's a bit disingenuous to claim credit for the 18 companies winding down. All of this work was done under the previous administration. You guys have only been in office for a month, right? Are you telling me that in the last 4 weeks, these 18 companies all of a sudden decided to say, oh my God, we better not do anything with Nord Stream 2? You guys are taking credit for stuff that the previous administration did. Right?
I am speaking for the Department of State.
Okay.
The people who have been working this, the people who are working this now, were the same people a month ago, were the same people
3 months ago.
Four months ago.
Yeah.
You think this guy's going to get canceled? When you brought this up in our story meeting, so I did go and listen to it in advance of the program because I wanted to hear that exchange. And I was pretty stunned that such a tough question was asked of someone from the Biden administration. You think this guy's going to get canceled?
He sounded like to me he's of the age he doesn't care anymore. didn't he to you?
He did. He seemed like he was an older, trustier guy.
So what if I get kicked out? So what?
Yeah.
You know,
time for me to retire.
I'm going
to
go down with some questions. That, you know what I'm saying? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Right. It sounded like he obviously had about 3 cups of coffee before he went in there. Two to me. Go ahead, Steve.
I was talking with Tim Graham from MRC earlier today, and we talked about this briefly. He said that Matt Lee has kind of the reputation of doing this to press secretaries. So
And that was the press secretary at the State Department.
State Department.
It was, that's the first time I heard that fella.
By the way, the previous Democrat spokesperson for the State Department was Jen Psaki.
I remember that.
All right. We have, sadly, passed the milestone of 500,000 COVID deaths in this country. And it's been interesting to watch how the media and the government, the White House, the Biden administration, commemorates this milestone. The White House had a moment of silence. Everything darkened. And there's a lot of religious overtones. Amazing something happened on CNN. Jake Tapper was interviewing Catholic Cardinal Wilton Gregory on this anniversary, on this milestone. And listen to what happened. Cut 8.
We cannot, as you have alluded so well, be with each other to reach out and touch one another, to embrace and to be in the presence of those who are suffering.
And before you go, Cardinal, would you lead us in a prayer to help comfort those who may be suffering right now?
Jake, that would be my great honor and privilege. Let us now open our hearts to recall those who have died from the coronavirus. We humbly ask the Creator of all to grant eternal peace to all our sisters and brothers lost to this disease.
Yeah, and so forth. They were praying on CNN.
And that was at the behest of Jake Tapper.
Jake Tapper asking for the prayer. By the way, do you remember when Jake Tapper asked for prayer during the 250,000th mark of COVID deaths? No, wait a minute. Jake
Missed
Tapper
that.
Was reporting that Donald Trump had just killed 250,000 people.
250,000 people, right.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Well, listen, I have to be very careful not to – I don't have an ulcer, but I have to be very careful that I don't get one if I focus on the hypocrisy, the rank hypocrisy of members of the media, because it is constant. It is
daily.
Constant.
Yeah, there's daily examples of that.
Absolutely.
Yep. You got 1 minute left, Steve.
I do. Well, the hits keep coming from our president, our eloquent president, who never misspeaks at all. He was also commemorating the 500,000th COVID death mark, and this is what he had to say. Cut 10.
The only way to spare more pain and more loss, the only way these millstones no longer mark our national mourning, these milestones, I should say, no longer mark our national mourning.
Did he say millstones?
Millstones.
I think the Bible says we need an interpreter.
Wow.
That's right.
Huh? Am I right?
Listen, Kit. We need. Can we just play that again? I just need a good laugh. I mean,
the only
way
to spare more pain and more loss. The only way these millstones no longer mark our national mourning. These milestones, I should say, no longer.
Mark. Is he saying right there that the Rolling Stones are going to appear at the White House? Is that what he said?
The last half of that was just
right?
Just absolutely indecipherable.
Right. It was indecipherable what he was trying to. We no longer. I guess he misread milestones for millstones. Is that what happened?
No, I think he was wanting to say milestones, but listen, first of all, folks,
bless his heart.
Yeah, bless his
right.
heart.
That's
his
all
heart.
We can say.
That's
just,
right. Bless his
we're
heart.
We're not laughing at the number of people who have died. Please
no,
don't misunderstand.
No. That's tragic.
We are laughing at, once again, Joe Biden, President Joe Biden's inability to string together. This is why he doesn't do press conferences.
Yeah, you're not going to see him out there much. I mean, he's right there, he's reading.
Yeah.
You know, and he struggles with that. All right, so thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Steve, thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Ed, appreciate
you. You are welcome.
Appreciate your contributions. My thanks to Sandy and to Brent for producing the program. And
Chris.
Yeah, and everybody else who made an appearance on this here program. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.